racing back to the warning track, to the wall. Upper deck, goodbye baseball.
The Jerry DePoto Show.
A tape measure home run by Nelly Cruz.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
The Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. One of our favorite things each week is an opportunity to talk to the Mariners general manager, Jerry DePoto, and he is joining us now. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure, guys.
Well, you're there in Chicago, and your team coming off of a split there in Pittsburgh. So far, a pretty positive road trip. How do you feel you guys are playing?
I think this road trip has been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde. I don't think we could have played any better than we played Friday and Saturday in Toronto, and then that first day in Pittsburgh, just three great games, and you know, we threw a clunker out there in between. So it's 3-2. We are going through a really rough stretch again with Toronto, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs. It's not going to get any lighter this weekend, but you know, the guys are playing well. They're fighting, and we're hanging in there. 51-49, and you know, we're now 100 games into this thing, and right in the middle of the pack, so to speak. There's a lot to happen in the American League playoff race, and obviously we're on the back end of it, but I feel like we're still connected.
Hey, Jerry, before we get into that, I'm just curious. I was gone for a little while, and there was this story that came out about the White Sox refusing to pay clubhouse dues when they were here in Seattle. Can you shed some light on that whole situation?
I can't really shed any light on what the White Sox choose to do or not to do, but you know, our clubhouse situation is not unlike many others. We have a clubhouse staff that is employed by the Mariners. They run our visitors' clubhouse. They feed the players. They wash the clothes. They take care of their needs, toiletries, etc. We govern that internally. So it's a little bit different than many other clubs, but there are other clubs that have, somewhat a different governance. And in this particular instance, we help manage the work schedules of the employees and make sure that the overtime doesn't get too burdensome and make sure that we are within the legal parameters of what is proper, and especially with the teenagers and the young guys that are working down in the clubhouse. And Jeff Bopp, our visiting clubhouse manager, was aware of this the day he took the job. He's shown really no issue with it whatsoever. I think everybody is made whole in the end. The Mariners net nothing out of this. We just make sure that everything is managed properly. Jeff Bopp makes as much money as he would have otherwise, and we manage the illegality of the clubhouse staff in between.
Hey, Jerry, last Chicago White Sox question, I promise. But, you know, I watched Chris Sale last week, and I told these guys, I think he's just a punk. There's just something about the look on his face or something. But, you know, over the weekend, he goes and slashes all the jerseys because he didn't want to wear the jersey. You ever been around or seen anything like that before?
Oh, sure. You know, I've never seen anybody cut off uniforms. And, you know, I know Chris Sale is really good. And when he pitches, he's really good. And I think there are a number of guys, pitchers, maybe more likely than position players through the years that you're going to run around that happen to be that they're super talented, they're highly competitive, and sometimes those competitive juices on pitching day run a little higher than others. So it's not for me to criticize. He's not our player, and they weren't our uniforms. We'll move on.
Jerry DePoto is with us here, his weekly visit. And when you talk about the trading deadline is coming up Monday, you're right in the thick of it with the playoff chase and still part of the pack there. How busy is this going to be for you? Does it become crunch time?
You know, it's not really crunch time. The deadline now lasts so long, and there's so much that's still going to happen in the month of August. I can almost guarantee that there'll be other impact moves around the league in August. That's the way the finances work in the game today. It's no longer just waiting for a deadline day and everybody sitting there staring at one another. The rhetoric's been going back and forth for weeks, if not longer. And we've been involved. You know, we've been involved. We've talked to teams about the potential of selling. We've talked to teams about the potential of buying. And we're just looking to the right opportunities. And we remain 4.5 out in the wild card. I do believe that the wild card is a little more muddled than our own division. And even though we are a little bit further back in our own division and logged behind both Texas and Houston, you know, it is a little more clear cut because those are teams we get to play regularly. And in the wild card chase, we are dead in the middle of the American League right now, and there are a lot of teams in between, which means that a lot of teams are going to be beating each other up. So a little bit tougher picture to paint in that wild card chase, but I do believe that in the division with the chance to go head-to-head with these clubs, that's a chance that we have to give ourselves.
How does it change the trade deadline with so many teams in the American League in that wild card chase?
Yeah, there's more buyers and fewer sellers, and I think as a result, the teams that are willing to engage in the potential of doing both, and you know we're doing that, and I don't think you can see that with the move we made with Mike Montgomery. The idea of positioning yourself as willing to both buy and sell and take advantage of opportunity really creates a greater opportunity. It's simple as that. Virtually all of the American League, or 10 of the 15 American League clubs, are in a position to compete for one of those playoff spots. It's a little more clear cut in the National League. You know, there's a lot going on over there, and I think in terms of the buyers and sellers, there just aren't very many clear sellers that you didn't know about going in. There were those five or six teams that positioned themselves as a long rebuild and the early going, and I think that's gone on. But many of those teams have already essentially sold off their pieces. And, you know, now it's just a very thin market, particularly in terms of pitching.
Boy, Jerry, it must be hard for you to figure out and weigh everything out with you guys appear to be on the cusp anyway of playoff contention with being six games behind the Rangers and 4.5 out of the wild card. If I'm in your position, I don't know what to do. You sit there and you go, well, if you take two or three from the Cubs, you're right in the thick of it. But maybe if you get swept in Chicago, that changes your thinking come Sunday.
And shockingly enough, sometimes with the trade deadline, it does really come down to the emotion that you feel on deadline day, you know. And we're not immune to that, but we're excited about where we are. We do understand that there's a long way to go. Certainly no slam dunks, but we're going to pursue opportunity if it comes, and we're going to try to play smart. We have a good foundation here. We had an unfortunate month of June. I think otherwise we've played very well. We have a winning record in April and May. We have had a winning record in July. We've been a good team for most of this season, and we still have the same core group of guys, and we do anticipate here in the next, let's call it, you know, week, we do expect to get both Charlie Furbush and Taiwan Walker back and stretch that week out to 10 days, and I think you can also count Nick Vincent on that list. So that's a trio of pitchers that we feel really strongly about adding and will only make us better. So some of our improvement is going to come from within. And I also think it gives us enough flexibility, like you saw the deal we made with Monty, that will allow us to take advantage of opportunity. It's one of the real unusual benefits of all the pitching injuries we had through the season is that along the way we wound up building up a little bit of depth that seems to be appealing to some other teams in the league right about now.
Do you have major league players on your team that are off limits to other general managers, or are you listening to anything and everything?
I will listen to anything and everything, like most guys in the league will. Anybody who tells you somebody's off limits is they're just trying to make the conversation quick. There are players that we are much less likely to really truly consider, and then there are some that are not really worth spending a lot of time talking about because it's impossible to conceive of putting together a deal that would make you or put you in a position to move them. But you know, anybody who's not willing to listen is crazy. If somewhere along the way the Dallas Cowboys and Vikings got together on the Herschel Walker deal, meaning anything is possible.
Hey Jerry, Mike Zunino seems like he's playing quite a bit lately. How is that working out? Talk about his progress, and is he being worked in a little bit more regularly going forward, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's obvious here these last handful of days since Toronto and Pittsburgh that he has played more. He deserves to. He's done a really nice job. And again, one of the things we talked about at great length all year long was this year was about what was best for Mike Zunino. And right now what's best for Mike is to let it hunt in the big leagues. He's playing. He's playing well. I think he's contributing in three ways, with his bat, with his pitch calling, and with his defense, the general defense behind the plate. And, you know, it's been encouraging to see. I think it's been a positive year for Mike. Obviously, the last handful of weeks, we've seen Chris Hyannetta struggle a little bit, and at the same time, Mike was cresting. And we said all along that if Mike were to come back to the big leagues prior to rosters expanding in September, it was going to be a situation where he was playing more than he was watching. And, you know, holding true to that, we're in a situation now where he's playing more than he's watching.
Jerry, we've loved watching Edwin Diaz this year. He's got 44 strikeouts and 22 and two-thirds innings pitched. How impressed are you with him? And it seems like he should be getting some consideration for Rookie of the Year.
Right now, Edwin Diaz, and the Rookie of the Year is always up for grabs. I could name a couple of guys around the league, I guess most notably Tyler Naquin with Cleveland, who's just had a great year. But you know, Edwin Diaz has made a huge impact on our team. He is fun to watch every time he's out there. I am blown away by his maturity and his confidence, not to mention the fastball and slider. I think he's fun. And when you've got an impact guy like that, who's so young, who brings an energy to the field, it really does change your world. And I know in our current situation, you know, with Eddie back there to go with Steve Cishek, we feel really confident about the last two innings of a game. And you know, quietly, very quietly, we've seen a really strong contribution since we picked Tom Wilhelmsen back up from his time with the Rangers. And he was great the other night in Pittsburgh, and he's been generally very good since he got here. Like I said, Nick Vincent's been good all year long for the most part, and we expect him back toward the tail end of next week. And that should give us a really formidable back end of the bullpen. And now we need one of the lefties to step up. You know, Vidal Nunez had a pretty solid year, and obviously he's thrust into a more difficult position. Is one of the things we will need as that bullpen starts to sort its way through is the guys that are pitching before Edwin Diaz and obviously Cishek need to figure out how to get the lefties out more consistently. And Diaz has no problem covering both. So I think he's been excellent facing either side.
And you guys had a deal earlier this week, trading Joaquin Benoit up there to Toronto for Drew Storen. Thought process there, just getting a guy who maybe can bounce back with you in Storen?
Yeah, change of scenery deal. You know, I think obviously both guys had been struggling at two really like, solid track records. And in the case of Drew Storen, you know, we're banking on a guy who has had a 40-plus save season, who has had strong contributions to really good bullpens, and who has had a really rough 2016. And our thought process there was, you know, Drew was a decade younger. He was probably a little more resilient. The idea was, if nothing else, we got to find out about the person, and if we could do anything to help get him back on track, it gives us some insights as to whether he fits for us over these next 2 months, but more importantly, whether he fits for us in the out years, you know, 2017 and beyond. Sneak peek.
Boy, Ketel Marte, I imagine when you picked up the phone from service or whoever called you to let you know that he had, your shortstop had mono, you were probably thinking, man, what next? What's the outlook for him? Any idea on when he'll be back?
No specific time, you know, and obviously our team docs and our team trainer at Griffin have kept me dialed in. Ketel is now 3 days into, actually 4 days into his rehab progression. He's back to baseball activity and doing simple things, hitting off the tee, throwing, taking some ground balls. He lost a lot of weight. He was down close to 10 pounds, and obviously you can tell by Ketel's frame that's a little more for him than it would be for me. But he's down about 10 pounds, and we're going to have to allow him to get strong again. But it's going well. We don't anticipate that it's going to be a terribly long layover now that he's feeling better and back after it. But minimally, I think we're looking at, best-case scenario, we're looking at sometime toward the back end of this next homestand, and that may be aggressive. So I'm just going to have to wait. We're going to see how he recovers, and I'm going to listen to the advice of our medical people because they are much smarter than I am.
Hey, I'm looking at this kid, Dan Vogelbach, you guys got in the trade, Jerry. And first baseman, what stands out to me, no errors, but batting 315. Tell us a little bit about this kid. He's a bigger guy, and it looks like he's playing first base. Is that right?
Yes, and, you know, Vogelbach is obviously he was a target for us. Really happy to have brought him over. Hit a homer in his first at bat as a Mariner and Tacoma, and has really done a nice job since. Was, you know, carrying an OPS right around 1,000 for the time he's been with the Mariners. And I think last night was the first mortal day. He took an 0-for yesterday, and otherwise he's been terrific. He's used all fields. He's hit with power. He's gotten on base. He takes his walks. He doesn't strike out much. He does a lot of really good things. And you know, I've compared him to a guy like Travis Hafner, formerly of the Indians. I think he's got the hit ability of maybe a John Kruk, but more power. And you know, we'll find out the complete package. He's still so young. He's never appeared in a major league game, and he's going to have his bump in the road like everybody. But we really like the bat here.
Now, you look at Taijuan Walker, encouraging reports out of Pittsburgh yesterday. It appears that he's pain-free with his foot. And then you have Felix Hernandez back. Two starts, subpar for Felix, but I guess it's understandable given the rustiness of not pitching for 2 months.
Yeah, and again, those are guys now with Felix back, with Kuma pitching really as well as I think he's pitched all year. He's been great. James Paxton has had flashes of just absolute brilliance, and he's been very good. In the big picture, our rotation is starting to settle down some. Taijuan will throw a rehab outing on Monday, and then we anticipate him rejoining our club next weekend. So you know, that is exciting, and because if fingers crossed, if he's out there and we have a full component, and our bullpen starts to get healthy, you know we are getting into that final 62 game stretch, or where that starts for us tomorrow. And once we get there, it's just a sprint, and you need healthy bodies. And you know, we're gonna have to beat good teams if we want to get where we're going. And Taijuan Walker is going to make a big difference in that regard. As I think I've said this over and over, as will Nick Vincent. I mean, he will be a welcome addition to our bullpen when he's ready to come back as well.
Hey, I'm wondering, Jeff Nelson, a former reliever here in Seattle. I heard some comments from him one day talking about when the Mariners didn't make a move at the trade deadline when he was here, that in the clubhouse that it was kind of deflating, that they didn't feel like the players didn't feel like the GM was doing everything in his power to help the team out. Is there something to that, Jerry? Or I guess you can't let that dictate your moves as GM.
No, you can't. You can't let it dictate your moves as GM. I've been in the clubhouse and where you're hoping that they can add something to help. But at the end of the day, the players in the clubhouse and the staff down in the clubhouse, they know day to day they need to focus on what's in front of them, because there are things out of your control. And some of the things out of your control are that I can sit here and I can give you a laundry list of the things that I think will make us better. And then among the other 29 teams, I have to find a dance partner who's willing to dance. And it's just not as easy as the layman might think. It is very hard to make trades in this league. It's very hard to find talent and bring it into your system if you're not cultivating it yourself. And I know that the trade deadline will be a unique period, but I mean, we've already made additions that we feel like are going to be significant. And whether the players in a moment feel that the front office is with them, frankly, we are always with them. We're the group to put the team together. We are the group that supports them every day, and we are the group that gives that staff all the resources that they need to do their job. And then we sit back and we watch and we enjoy just like the rest of the fan base.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always love talking to you, and we're really grateful you take the time to join us. I know it's going to be a busy couple of days. Good luck, and we look forward to seeing what happens.
All right, guys. Look forward to next week.
That is Jerry DePoto, our weekly visit with him on Thursdays.
The Jerry DePoto Show with Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
The Jerry DePoto Show, every Thursday at 3:30, on demand, on every device, on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.